statistical, so unpredictable, here on the SNL Network.
Yes, welcome on in, everybody, to the Saturday Night Network for our second to last edition of the SNN Impression Countdown, where we are here to count down the top 20 impressions in the history of SNL as voted by you, the fans. That's right. It's down to 6, 5, and 4, where we're going to reveal some of the all-time greatest impressions in the history of the show. And I'm so excited to do that today with my man, Ian Vermeglish. Ian, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I got my Dan and John and Chevy and Jane and Garrett and Lorraine shirt on.
That's awesome. That's perfect. We'll see if any of their impressions come up today. So, Ian, the last time that you were on the podcast with us was January 25th, 2021. So it's been 2.5 years since we've had you on the show. Catch the listeners up. What are you up to?
Still doing Ian Talks Comedy. I've had a lot of SNL people on the show. I've gone to, as far as I've had the costume people, the makeup people. Actually have, I'm going to be interviewing the first page that SNL had from July 1975 to 1977. And that'll be coming up. And I have one coming up with Barry Blaustein, who wrote most of Eddie Murphy's stuff at the time.
Awesome. Yeah, Ian has an amazing podcast, so it's a great resource for SNL fans if you wanted to go check that out. But today, Ian, we have some business to attend to because we have to reveal three impressions on the list. You know what those are, but before we get to them today, we'd love to ask you your thoughts on the list. You told me that so far you've listened to the first four episodes of this series. What do you think of the impressions? And actually, you know what? I'll read out the impressions one more time for the listeners in case they forget any of them. So, counting up from 20, Sudeikis is Biden, Piscopo's Frank Sinatra, Anna Gasteyer's Martha Stewart, Jay Farrow's Denzel Washington. Episode 2 had Kenan Thompson's Steve Harvey, Amy Poehler's Hillary Clinton, then Chevy Chase's Gerald Ford, followed by Dan Aykroyd's Tom Snyder. Episode 3 was Kate McKinnon's Hillary Clinton, Daryl Hyman's Bill Clinton, and then Bill Hader's Alan Alda. Last week, we revealed number 9, Will Ferrell's Janet Reno, Eddie Murphy's Stevie Wonder, and Daryl Hammond's Al Gore. So, Ian, what are your thoughts so far on the list?
It's a scattershot. It's why it's people from all different decades, arenas. Some people are political, some people aren't. Probably mostly political. And there's also a differing degree of accuracy versus funniness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Chevy Chase's Gerald Ford is obviously a not accurate impression. It's a very funny one. Versus Anna Gasteyer's Martha Stewart, which is extremely accurate and also very funny.
That is very true. So now I have to ask you the question that I've asked all of our guests on this series, which is, what do you look for in an SNL impression? What are your criteria that you would base your list on?
Okay, I would say accuracy of the voice and the mannerisms, and if it's funny. Because you could have a guy do a perfect impression, and it's the writing has to be there as well. Or it's just going to be like, oh, yeah, that guy kind of sounds like him.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Too well written.
For sure. So accuracy and is it funny? I mean, those are, you know, two very straightforward principles that we're going to look at. So we'll talk about those today as we go through the impressions. So, Ian, are you ready for me to reveal number 6 on the list?
Let's go.
Okay, so this impression is going to be interesting to talk about. It's a little bit similar to one that we discussed last week. It sort of goes hand in hand with that one. And here we go. Number 6 on the list, and that impression's famous catchphrase is...
strategery.
Yes, strategery. That would be Will Ferrell's George W. Bush. Like I said, we're going to hit some heavy hitters as we get to the front of our list. George W. Bush was played by Will Ferrell 35 times between 1999 and 2018 was the last time we saw it on the show. The interesting backstory to this is that Will Ferrell, when he comes onto the show, Clinton is still the president, who is played by Daryl Hammond. So Will Ferrell's actually playing Al Gore. Then Al Gore, you know, runs for the presidency, and Will Ferrell is opposing him. Sorry, George Bush, George H.W. Bush is opposing him. And Will takes the role of George W. Bush while Daryl Hammond takes the Al Gore role. And obviously, as you've seen and discussed in our last week, we talked about how great those debate sketches were, and Bush is ultimately going to win and then have some really fun moments on the show. And I think what is most fascinating about this impression, Ian, and I can't wait to get your thoughts, is that during, you know, my initial SNL run, I thought that, you know, Will Ferrell was playing George W. Bush for the entire presidency, right? Because I didn't know better. I was like, you know, I just thought like this impression was so famous that I thought that this went on for so many years, but he really only played him the first year or two of his time in office. So very interesting how much of an impact this impression made on people. Would love your thoughts. Number six, Will Ferrell as George W. Bush.
Yeah. He did a Broadway play as George W. Bush when George, you know, when handed over the reins of the White House to Obama. It was a classic impression. It's very funny, and it was very well written. And it, there's something about Will Ferrell that you can see in George W. Bush. The frat guy, sort of funny, you know, the funniness, the charisma, that he makes George W. Bush more charismatic than George W. Bush actually is. But he does it very well, and it's a very great characterization.
Yeah, and I want to talk about, you know, the characterization of the impression, which is, you mentioned frat guy. I think that's one aspect of this, which is like he's the fun, cool guy. But he also plays him pretty stupid. Like, he gives off the impression that George W. Bush is not the smartest cookie. And I think that's interesting, right? Because there's so many very well-educated people who have written, you know, political books over the last 20 years about how Will Ferrell had an influence on George W. Bush getting elected. Yet he played him so dumb that I wonder if it's like, you have to think about like, what is America looking for back in 2000? Did they need this kind of person to become president? So I find all this stuff really fascinating, and I'm curious your opinion on it.
I mean, it's the whole thing of the guy you want to drink a beer with. Who would be more fun to hang out with, Al Gore or George W. Bush?
Right.
I know George W. Bush hasn't had a beer since 1986, but he'd probably be more fun to hang out with than Al Gore. There was that. He did play him really, you know, really stupid, but I guess that's everything in impressions. They usually go stupid or mean or, you know, they have to hit certain things, and stupid's easy to do for a politician.
Right. Well, you know, George W. Bush starts to be played by Will Ferrell between 99, and that's, you know, before he's elected, all the way through to the end of this season, 2001-2002 SNL season, where Will Ferrell stops being a cast member on the show, and then he'll play him five more times after that. But I'm curious from you, going through some of the sketches that you saw again from this impression, what were some standouts that you would recommend to people have they, you know, if they haven't gone back and checked it out?
The Dana Carvey as his dad talking to him about the presidency.
Yeah.
It's a very good sketch. The Chili's, when him and Al Gore meet in Chili's, right?
They call it Chi-Chi's in the show, I believe.
No, because that is a restaurant, I think.
Okay. So I'm Canadian, so we don't have Chi-Chi's up in Canada.
I had a Swiss Chalet a couple weeks ago.
All right. Pretty good.
Yeah, that was a very good one. And I even liked the one when he came back to host in 2009 to see Cheney on Meet the Press in the makeup room.
Yeah, I believe that is Daryl Hammond's last episode as a cast member. So yeah, that is a really good one to go back, season 34, episode 22. I love the first one you mentioned, which I think is a really interesting moment here. And I wonder if this helped seal this impression's popularity, in that people loved Dana Carvey's George H.W. Bush so much, it may be, and we'll find out, it may be one of the most popular impressions in the history of the show. And then to have Dana Carvey, I think it was one time was like a couple weeks before he hosted, and then one was when he was hosting the show, do sketches with George W. Bush. I have to feel this was like a passing of the mantle a little bit. in terms of, you know, like people liked Phil Hartman's Clinton, people liked Daryl Hammond's Clinton, but I sort of felt like this was a stamp of approval from one, you know, tent pole impression in the history of the show to another when you get these great sketches with two presidents in them.
Yeah, and I would think Will Ferrell might be the Dana Carvey of his cast.
Okay.
The guy that, I mean, you would make a comparison to Daryl Hammond in the impressions, but in the most popular, most famous guy at the time, that was Dana, because that's when I started watching, and that was Will when he was there.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? Because I do feel that Dana's cast is so much stronger than Will's cast.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Phil.
Of course, yeah, you have Phil, you have Jan, who to me are like all-time legends of the show, where you have some just like very good cast members with Will Ferrell. But yeah, I mean, I think that the one, if I had to pick one H.W. and W. Bush sketch to go back and check out, would be the October 21st, 2000 sketch. That would be season 26, episode 3, where Dana Carvey was hosting the show. And they did like an Of Mice of Men thing. Where it's like a hunting sketch, and it's you know, they're going out hunting together, and they basically you know, HW sends Lenny as, you know, Will Ferrell's George W. Bush like off and shoots him from a distance. And to me, that is like one of the great political sketches, like, you know, from 2000 on, because it's just, it's so well written. It's these two like great SNL characters, and, you know, the political, you know, you're embarrassing the family aspect of things. Like, to me, that is a great, great sketch.
I agree. And also, we didn't even mention 9/11 happens during the 2 years that Will Ferrell plays the commander in chief, and he had a soft shoe. Take the punches back a little bit for that last year.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because you know, the first episode after 9/11 will open up with, you know, the whole like Giuliani, you know, why start now, you know, being funny, Paul Simon the boxer. And we actually don't see Will Ferrell's George W. Bush in that episode, but we will get him in the next episode, kicking off episode 2 with a presidential address directly to camera. And it is a really fascinating timestamp to see, you know, how they're going to go about making fun of the president during a really difficult time in the country. And I wonder if, you know, this was a little bit of a step down from what people felt like they really needed at the time, which was for him to be like really stupid and funny. I do feel that this impression has always worked best playing off of other characters. So playing off of a Dick Cheney or playing off of an Al Gore, I think that's the best version of Will Ferrell's George W. Bush. Whereas the direct to camera thing that worked so well for Dana as HW, I think doesn't work as well for Will's George W. Bush. What do you think of that?
I actually agree. I never thought about that, but I totally agree. He's best being goofist to somebody else's gallant.
Exactly. And I do think that the inability for SNL to find another good impressionist for George W. Bush throughout the rest of his tenure makes this impression elevated in other people's eyes, because we're going to get Chris Parnell doing it 6 times. And then Daryl will actually take and do the impression twice, which to me was like very weird. Then Will Forte will be doing the impression 22 times. And like, you'll never find a bigger Will Forte fan than me, but I think this is the worst thing Will Forte's done on the show, probably, is his impression of George W. Bush. I really think like this doesn't work at all. And that's followed by Jason Sudeikis doing it 9 times. So I just really feel like this is one of those things where they were just continuously struggling to figure out how to do this impression. And because Will's was so popular, they were always fighting to get that back. And I actually don't think they've ever had anything like that before or after in the history of the show, where one cast member plays a president so well that they can't figure out how to mock the president afterwards.
Yeah, they haven't had problems. I mean, sometimes they don't have anybody playing the president, like for Reagan for many years.
Right.
But yeah, I never had that problem after that, or since.
For sure. Ian, I would love to know what your thoughts are on its place on the list. Do you think that like 6th all-time is the right spot for this, or should it be lower or higher if you had to pick?
I thought it was going to be either 3 or 4.
Okay. Any reasons why you think it wouldn't make the top of the list?
I don't know. It's a very funny impression. I don't know why.
Yeah. I just have to wonder if, you know, if the other impressions that we're going to see make a difference. I think one of the things that we noticed last week with some of the great impressions from 9, 8, and 7 is the people who were being impersonated appeared on the show. We've never had a George W. Bush appearance on the show. So maybe if that there was a Will Ferrell George W. Bush with the real George W. Bush sketch, that would be something that would have elevated this impression in people's eyes, you know, just throwing out some theories. And then, you know, the couple times that he's done it in the last like 10 years, he did it once in 2015 and once in 2018. It didn't necessarily have that like fanfare. I think that people were celebrating the idea of it coming back on the show. But again, it was like very direct to camera. It didn't involve the administration around him. And I wonder if people, you know, if time has slowly started to fade away and had we done this poll, you know, 10 years ago, if this would have made the top three of the list.
I would, yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
I would think so.
All right, Ian. So anything else on impression number 6 here with Will Ferrell as George W. Bush?
No. It's very good impression, very good choice.
Okay. So let's move on to number 5 on the list. I think this will be a very fun one to talk about. This is moving from we've done a lot of political impressions lately, so we're going to jump over to a pop culture impression here at number 5 on the list, something a little bit more modern that was on the show 8 times. So here we go. This is the theme song for this impression.
So this is like my show where I like talk to people who are pretty cool and we'll like talk about things I think are pretty cool, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, that wasn't the theme song, but that was after the theme song when she opens up her own show. That would be Vanessa Bayer's Miley Cyrus impression that came in here at number 5 overall. I was pretty surprised, but people love this impression. I mean, I think this is like people beginning to fall in love with Vanessa Bayer. 8 times between 2010 and 2014. Obviously, people know the Miley Cyrus show, which was very popular. Miley Cyrus herself did appear on that show as Justin Bieber, written by Colin Jost, Rob Klein, and Vanessa Bayer. And yeah, this was fascinating to me that it was top 5 all time in the history of the show. Ian, what do you think?
I do not get it at all because... I mean, it's a very funny impression. It's a very funny character. But first, when it first started, I had to like actually watch an episode of Hannah Montana to see what Miley Cyrus sounded like. Cause I was a 35-year-old guy, so I wasn't watching Hannah Montana because that would be very creepy. And I was like, okay, that's a good impression. But like, I got so many questions for the people who voted. Like, what about Norm Macdonald? And what about John Belushi as Joe Cocker? And that's pretty cool. And I just don't get it. It's a very popular impression, but there's so many great impressions that are not going to be on the list because there's only 4 spaces left.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one, right? Because I think that like the younger viewers of the show consider this like an amazing, amazing impression. Now, is it accurate? I don't think so. I think this is like, as far as a pop culture impression is concerned, this is like as characterization as you'll get on SNL. This is like more in line with a political impression where they tried to develop a character. Vanessa Bayer, I think, developed a character here for Miley Cyrus. Now, Miley Cyrus herself has become a very popular figure on SNL. She's had some of the greatest musical performances over the last 10 or 15 years. She's gone on to host the show 3 times. So I have to wonder if that is a factor. She's also, you know, one of the more popular figures in the world. And yeah, I mean, I think that these sketches have been shared a lot online. So I feel like this was, to me, Ian, probably the younger contingent of viewers really boosting this up the list.
Yeah. And I mean, if you want to go for accuracy, her Rachel from Friends is extremely accurate and very funny.
Yes. Yes. That I totally agree. The Jennifer Aniston one.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying I love Vanessa Bayer. I'm not saying anything negative about Vanessa Bayer. I just don't get that character was that loved.
Yeah. Well, considering that it was, let's talk about some of the sketches. So
yeah.
8 times, like I said, between 2010, 2014, that famous one where Miley was on the show was in 2013. Actually, I think she did it twice in front of her now, if I remember correctly. There was that whole period of time where Miley Cyrus was like very rebellious, like Rebel Miley phase, where I think it was like the Wrecking Ball phase of all that. And we also had the impressions of them side by side together. And yeah, I would love to know from you, like going back and checking out some of these sketches, were there any standout moments to you?
It was weird. The first one, I think, was the Bryan Cranston one, where he was playing Billy Ray Cyrus. And yes. Jason Sudeikis is always funny and everything. And he's so funny as Billy Ray Cyrus in these sketches. And the sketches are very funny, and Vanessa's funny in them. But I really liked the one where Anne Hathaway was Katie Holmes.
Yes, that was a very good one. And like the conceit of this sketch, where you have basically, like, you know, Miley Cyrus as, you know, Vanessa Bayer as Miley Cyrus is not really listening to the guest and sort of like just ready to like talk and jump in there, I think is sort of fun and refreshing. I think there's a bright light that Vanessa brings to the show. And I talked about this a lot, I think, with some of our other guests, Ian, that I think Vanessa, unfortunately, is like fell in like a lost era between Kristen Wiig and Kate, Cecily, and Adie, where she doesn't get the recognition that she should. But what this spot on the list happens to show is that there's a lot of people out there that just remember this impression as being a huge highlight of her time at the show.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was thinking, I was looking at them, and I was looking for Abby Elliott, and I'm like, well, she was before that.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, so to you, I know you said that you're very surprised this is so high up the list. Like, where would you place this? Is this like in the top 20 for you if you had to make a personal top 20, or would this be an impression you wouldn't have even thought of?
I honestly wouldn't have thought of it.
Okay, that is totally fair.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Don't apologize, but that's fine. I mean, everybody has different opinions about all this. I will say that this is like, look, we had some very popular pop culture impressions on the show, and I just find those are the ones that I think are the most debatable, right? Like, of all the political impressions we had, I think they, you know, those are the ones that I feel like people needed to place on the list and were like, okay, you know, that makes sense that they're high or low. I think it's all the pop culture ones that people are like, okay, I don't really get this, or I'm not from a time necessarily where this would have made sense to me. And it's just fascinating to see the contrast in at least eras between Vanessa Bayer's Miley Cyrus, which falls at number 5. Then we have Eddie Murphy's Stevie Wonder, which comes in at number 8. Bill Hader's Alan Alda, which comes in at number 10. Dan Aykroyd's Tom Snyder, Keenan's Steve Harvey, and Jay Farrow's Denzel Washington, Joe Piscopo's Frank Sinatra. Like, those are all the pop culture ones that have been on the list so far. And it's just like the amount of disparity between the different generations here is fascinating to take a look at.
Oh, and by the way, I talked to Gary Kroger. He said that Hader can have the best Alda impression win. He can have it. But he does the best Mondale.
Got it. Yes. I will say, unfortunately, Gary Kroger's Walter Mondale did not crack the top 20. But yes, much love to Gary. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, look, overall, I felt like out of some of the pop culture impressions on this list, I personally will say, I think that this impression was the one that made the most sense to me where it landed. I wouldn't say it's a top 5 impression in the history of the show necessarily, but I think it's a top 10, honestly. I think it is so strong here, just in terms of, like I said, it's very rare where somebody can do a fairly inaccurate impression, and I'm saying inaccurate impression, of a celebrity, get away with it to the point of doing then a talk show with that person's name. So like, think of like Ego with Dionne Warwick most recently. There's been a ton of these in the history of the show. And Vanessa Bayer basically got away with creating a character of a celebrity impression, having its own talk show, and having it become so popular that the celebrity itself wants to appear on that talk show. To me, I think that that's what stamps this in the pantheon of great impressions in the history of the show, let alone the fact that people love Vanessa Bayer.
No Joe Pesci.
Yes, yes, that's true. Joe Pesci would be an interesting example there, but I do think that people probably don't feel the same way about Jim Brewer as they do about Vanessa Bayer, so that probably was a factor here.
Right.
Yes. Okay, and anything else on impression number 5, Vanessa Bayer as Miley Cyrus?
No, I just want to say, I do think it's a funny impression.
Yeah, For sure. And I do wonder if one day we ever get Vanessa Bayer hosting the show, if this would make a comeback. Vanessa Bayer left the show in 2016, so we didn't really see this for the last couple of years. Also, she was really playing a version of Miley Cyrus that wasn't so, you know, today's Miley. It was like the Hannah Montana Miley, as Ian referred to. So I guess we shall see if we ever see this pop up again on the show and maybe get Jason Sudeikis's Billy Ray Cyrus back as well. Okay. Ready for number four, Ian?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Okay, this is an impression that I feel like a lot of people are really familiar with because this is a as close to a modern day impression as we're going to get. And here's this person coming back to the podcast.
It's me. Hi, I'm the problem.
It's yeah. Me. It's him. It's JJ's Donald Trump impression, which is made number four all time in the history of the show. Is this modern bias? We're going to talk about this right now with Ian. So done so far 14 times between 2021 and the present. I will just say Donald Trump is the most impersonated person, probably, I think, maybe Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, but one of the most impersonated people in the history of the show. JAJ's impression of Donald Trump was the only one that cracked the top 20 of the list. Is that because it's modern and super popular and people think the impression is so accurate? Do people prefer it that much more to, let's say, Alec Baldwin's impression or Daryl Hammond's impression of Donald Trump? All these questions are super interesting. And Ian, I'm going to send it over to you for your thoughts on the impression and its bottom of the list.
I think its accuracy is uncanny. And also where he goes with it. I guess I'll reveal all my thoughts about it. When they do the list and he goes from topic to topic to topic, it's hysterical. It's really funny. And with, like, Norm MacDonald had a saying that when you do an impression, you have to have a little bit of like for the person that you're impersonating. And you could tell Alec Baldwin did not like Donald Trump. But JAJ might have, you know.
Are you saying that JAJ is a Trumpy?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that when you impersonate somebody, you when you go in there, you have to like them a little bit. You can't hate them or the impression is just so mean.
Right.
And it's not that funny. And his impression is funny. And it's technically accurate, very accurate as well.
Yeah, it is scary. I mean, I'm sure we've all, as SNL fans, had this conversation with somebody we know who is a more casual SNL fan saying that they walked by the television, heard JJ as Donald Trump, and thought that Trump was actually on TV. I mean, he just does it that well. So accuracy, one of the most accurate impressions by far in the history of the show. Is it funny? I do think so, probably, because I think that the way that they do it is a little bit, like you said, a little bit more, it's in a phase where, you know, he's not currently in office, so they're able to make fun about how ridiculous the stuff that he's still doing after he's the president. So I think that maybe the impression comes off a little bit lighter. Of course, our American friends can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of people do feel that way. And, you know, I think that it's the ability that what I think that is the best part of this impression is JAJ's take on Trump's ability to ramble. I think that's something that Baldwin didn't do as well. Baldwin was just, you know, this guy is a complete moron and just, you know, playing him to the 10th degree of like idiocy. Whereas JAJ will be like, his whole thing is that like he can't stay on topic and he'll consistently, you know, bring up pop culture references and I have to think that some of the season 47 problems with this impression was just how frequent it was happening in coinciding with his Biden. And maybe he like took his foot off the pedal just a little bit in season 48 so that it came out like once every few episodes and was able to have some fun with it. So Ian, thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a more fun impression. It's lighter. He's not the president now. I never liked when Alec Baldwin would do that thing with his eyes closed and his mouth open as Trump, because I don't see Trump doing that with that much, you know, having his eyes closed and his mouth open. That was like a big part of the impression. And I guess once, you know, the show comes back and then they start going for the 2024 election, we'll see how it changes, if how he plays him changes and how they write for him changes.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most fascinating storylines we have coming up into 49 to 50 is, you know, how is he going to play both candidates if it is Trump versus Biden again, you know, which is, I mean, I guess not off the table at this point. So it's going to be interesting to talk. I mean, we least expect that Trump's going to be in the zeitgeist at this point. So it's really interesting to see. And I do think that, though, you know, except for his involvement in the political landscape, I do think that there is a lot of meta that JAJ does with this impression. I really loved what he was doing in this recent Easter episode, where he basically had everybody behind him frozen. He kept talking about the fingers and stuff like that. I think that was like a really great version of this. I loved this line from him.
Maybe if you break a big political character, you can say the big lie.
When he was talking about saying live from New York, like, I think that they're just having a lot of fun with this impression. And I have to wonder if, you know, it's if people look at this impression as being so much lighter than the Alec Baldwin impression, that it's even more elevated in people's eyes. Like, people can't look at it on its own as just its existing impression. People were just so tired of Alex Trump that this one came in and like hit you and was so strong because of that.
It's a good point. I think that it's just, he had one of the greatest first episodes of a new cast member, that first episode he joined the show, and it's just, his Trump is just amazing. So I think it's that. I mean, you could add the fact that people didn't like the Alec Baldwin's Trump that much, but his Trump is just great.
Yeah, I have an interesting question that I was thinking about a lot today, knowing that we are going to be talking about this, Ian, which is, you know, Alec Baldwin obviously had his own has his own issues outside of the show now, which maybe puts him down on some people's list in terms of you know, his legacy at the show. But besides all the stuff that happened on the movie set and everything like that, you know, people were really, really sick of the Alec Baldwin Trump impression. In 10 years from now, when things have maybe cooled a little bit, or maybe even 20 years from now, when things, you know, have cooled even more, are people going to look back at Alec Baldwin's Trump and wonder if that is one of the greatest impressions in the history of the show, or is it just too close?
I don't know what's 20 years in the future.
Yeah, but if you had to guess, like if you had to just take
a guess. If I had to guess, I think that just like George Bush, Will Ferrell played for 2 years and he's thought of as George Bush, I'm going to think JAJ is what people are going to remember.
Yeah. That's a great take, because I think that's probably the right answer here, is that like if it wasn't, you know, if there was no Trump impression on the show after Alec Baldwin, I would think the next generation of SNL fans would probably think more fondly about the Alec Baldwin Trump impression. But now that JAJ has come in and I hate to use this word, but made the impression good again, then, or I guess great again, then maybe it's better now, you know, like maybe that people feel like the JAJ impression is like the fun one that people are always going to remember. So I think that's the right take, Ian. Okay, so Ian, you have watched 48 years of the show. I think that, you know, for people who don't know you, you are have an encyclopedic memory of SNL sketches and like really just one of the most fascinating SNL minds there is. I would love to know, for you, through 2 years of this impression, how does it stack up to you compared to other presidential impressions in the history of the show? Is this one of the all-time greats?
I would say yes. It's in the top five, because I mean, how many presidents have we had? I mean,
so let's go over the ones that are most we'll play this exercise out. Let's go over the ones that I think are best known for that presidential impression. So Chevy's Ford, naturally. Dan Aykroyd's Jimmy Carter. I would say that the Reagan impression is probably, would you say Phil Hartman at this point is probably Clinton. Best known for the Reagan impression. You know, Clinton, we'll say Daryl Hammond, I skipped H.W. Bush, that'd be Dana Carvey, then Clinton, Daryl Hammond, then George W. Bush, Will Ferrell, Barack Obama, I would say is probably Jay Farrow is best known for the Barack Obama impression. And now the Trump impression, to me, is probably most likely going to be remembered as Baldwin, I guess, or JAJ. Like, I don't know. That's the interesting exercise here. And then the Biden impression, you know, if that continues on for a long time, I think that will eventually be JAJ, though people will remember the Sudeikis Biden. So for you, let's just look at let's say that Trump down the line will always be remembered for being played, even though it wasn't during his presidency, by JAJ. How does that compare to you with the other political impressions?
I would say third.
Behind what?
Behind George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, like we saw on the list already, we already talked about in the top six was Will Ferrell's Bush. We'll see if Dana Carvey's George H.W. Bush will appear next week at all. But if that is the case, then we have some of the greatest presidential impressions in the history of the show right at the top of the list.
Yeah, you'd have to thank the Bush family for that.
Right, exactly. Okay, Ian, so, you know, that is really interesting to have this one. And by the way, I'll just say for all of our listeners, I was pretty surprised that this impression made it up so high. I do think that this is headed towards a top 10 impression in the history of the show, but it is very early. It's still like 2 years in, I guess, like an abbreviated second year, probably an abbreviated third year. But, you know, to me, for this to be like top three in the history of the show or top four in the history of the show, I think he probably has to do it for another couple of years. But people love it, and so be it. So it got to number four on the list. Ian, anything else you want to say about the JAJ Trump impression?
I just didn't think it would be four. I thought it would be six or seven, just because it's only been 2 years. But I could see four if it continues in the way it is.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that was six, five, and four on the list that we revealed to you tonight. Next week, we are revealing 3, 2, and 1 on the list. The top three will be revealed, so we'll have the entire top 20 list. We can debate and talk about what deserved to be there and what didn't. I'll also reveal some honorable mentions about 21 through 25. I'll reveal as well so that people can know what just missed the list, and we can go over it. There's a couple impressions that didn't crack the list that I think absolutely should have been there, and I'm dying to talk about them as well. So next week will be like a really fun show as we talk about the entire thing. Very excited for that. Ian, anything else you want to say about the list at all?
No, it's very interesting to know what Saturday Night Live fans are thinking.
Yeah, that's the fun of the show for sure. So besides that show that's coming up next week, we also have another show coming up on Wednesday night, which will be our next episode of SNL Stories, where we will talk to Oz Rodriguez, who is a very great film director, who was around for many, many seasons over the last 10 to 12 years, I'd say. He worked with one of his great partners, Matt, back in the day, and then has continued to do stuff for SNL, even worked this past season on the House of the Dragon pre-tape that you saw during the Dave Chappelle episode, and will be continuing to work, do some stuff with the show. And he has a new movie coming out, so we're going to get to talk to him on Wednesday night. So that'll be a very fun show. I hope you all enjoy that one. You got to let me know what you think, and obviously check out that movie when it comes out. And then, and then we'll be back next week, and we'll talk about what will be happening throughout the fall here on the SNN. So Ian, so many great shows that you have as well. Please tell the listeners where they can find your podcast.
You can go to Spotify, or you can go to Google Podcasts, or basically Spotify is the one I use, but you can go to anywhere, you know, podcasts are sold, as they say, and look up Ian Talks Comedy. I've talked over 60 people that have worked on Saturday Night Live in all sorts of areas, you know, makeup, hair, cast members, writers, Paul Miller, the director from 86 to 89. So I've had people from everywhere associated with the show. And I have next week, I think I mentioned it, I have a big one coming up, Barry Blaustein, who wrote a lot of Eddie Murphy's material from when Eddie was a cast member.
Yeah, that's so exciting. It's really fun for us to get to hear some of your conversations with different people who worked in different areas of the show. You know, like for fans of Saturday Night Live, there's nothing like getting to hear from specific people who worked for certain years in different departments of the show, because we don't always get to hear from them. And, you know, we're so used to hearing from cast members and writers who will, you know, come on podcasts and write or have articles written about them. But to really get to hear from, you know, the hair department, the makeup department, and all the people that you get to talk to, Ian, a lot, that's so cool because they have a different perspective. They're basically watching the show from inside the show. And I find that some of the stories you get to talk to them about are super fascinating. So great job on all of that.
Thank you. And you're doing a great job, the SNN.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, if you want to catch everything we're doing over here at the SNN, make sure to follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. You can also subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify to make sure to catch all of our shows. Make sure to click that subscribe button so you never miss anything we're doing. I just want to thank everybody in our live chat for joining us tonight, as always, and Ian Vermeglish as well. My name is John Schneider from the Saturday Night Network. We will see you next time, everybody. Have a good one.